Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member Made Ram Gold. All right, and today Mezekas Bab Metzia Daf Mem Ches, the fourth Perek Hazav. This Perek has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalad Amanov stated regarding one who retracts from a purchase after giving money, Aval Amrut, but the sages said about him, Misha Par Ma'anshi Dor Mabu Midor Haflaga, the one who punished the generation of the flood and the generation of dispersion, who Asili Para Misha Eno Omid Bidiburo, he will ultimately punish someone who does not keep his word. Now this is understandable according to Rabbi Yochanan, that money acquires biblically, so although the rabbis decreed he can retract, he's punished for doing so. But according to Reish Lakish, that money does not acquire at all. Why is he punished? The Gemara answers Mishum Dvarim, because of violating his words. This is challenged from Rabbi Shimon's statement of Bryce that one who retracts from a purchase with money will be punished by the one who punished the people of the generation of the Mabul, the Haflaga of Stom and Amora, and Mitzrayim at Yamsuf, v'hanoisim v'noisim Dvarim, and one who buys and sells with words alone does not acquire, and if he retracts, ein ruach chachamim no chachamenu. The sages are not pleased with him, but he's not subject to the Mishapara. The Gemara answers the Varim v'ikba hadayu maos. When words are accompanied by monetary payment, he's subject to mishapara, but for mere verbal commitment, he's not. Point number two, Abai said odui modinue. We inform him that if he retracts, he'll be subject to mishapara, but we do not curse him. Ravi says meilat laitinue. We curse him ourselves with mishapara. Abai holds we do not curse because the pasuk says v'nasi ba'amcha osar, a leader among your people you shall not curse, which is also prohibited for ordinary Jews. Rava responds that the word ba'amcha, among your people, teaches that cursing is only prohibited ba'osamaisa amcha, with one who acts in accordance with your people's actions. Rava brought support for his position from an incident in which Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef was paid for salt, but it appreciated in value before it was taken, and he wanted to retract. Rabbi Yochim told him to give him the salt, and if not, to accept mishapara on himself. Surely Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef did not need to be informed of mishapara, so this indicates that we actually curse one who retracts. The Gemara counters that he certainly would not put himself in a position to be cursed, and the incident is explained differently. And point number three, Amoraim discuss how much of a purchase is acquired by an erevon, a down payment regarding incurring mishapara for retracting. Rav says kenegda hukona, it acquires equal to its value. Rabbi Yochanan says kenegad kul hukona, it acquires the entire purchase. Rav is challenged from a brisa in which Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if money is given to a seller, not as a security, but as partial payment, for example, he buys a house or field worth 1,000 zuz and gives 500 as a down payment, he acquires the entire land and the balance is owed as a debt. The Gemara assumes the same applies to metaltalin. If money is given without specifying it's for a down payment, he acquires the entire purchase regarding mishapar for retracting, which contradicts Rav. The Gemara answers that regarding a land purchase, which is actually acquired with money, a partial payment also acquires all of it. Regarding metaltalin, where money only acquires for incurring mishapara for retracting, a partial payment does not even acquire the entire purchase. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah Daf Mem Dalad Amanov stated, regarding one who retracts from a purchase after giving money, Avamru, but the sages said about him, Mishabar Ma'anshe Dor Hamabu Medor Faga, the one who punished the generation of the flood and the generation of dispersion, he will ultimately punish someone who does not keep his word. Now this is understandable according to Rabbi Yochanan, that money acquires biblically, so although the rabbis decreed he can retract, he's punished for doing so. But according to Reish Lakish, that money does not acquire at all. Why is he punished? The Gemara answers Mishum Dvarim, because of violating his words. This is challenged from Rabbi Shimon's statement of Bryce that one who retracts from a purchase with money will be punished by the one who punished the people of the generation of the Mabul, the Haflaga of Stom and Amora, and Mitzrayim at Yamsuf, v'hanoisim v'noisim Dvarim, and one who buys and sells with words alone does not acquire, and if he retracts, ein ruach chachamim no chachamenu. The sages are not pleased with him, but he's not subject to the Mishapara. The Gemara answers the Varim v'ikba hadayu maos. When words are accompanied by monetary payment, he's subject to mishapara, but for mere verbal commitment, he's not. Point number two, Abai said odui modinue. We inform him that if he retracts, he'll be subject to mishapara, but we do not curse him. Rava says meilat laitinue. We curse him ourselves with mishapara. Abai holds we do not curse him because the pasuk says v'nasi ba'amcha osar, a leader among your people you shall not curse, which is also prohibited for ordinary Jews. Rava responds that the word ba'amcha, among your people, teaches that cursing is only prohibited ba'osamaisa amcha, with one who acts in accordance with your people's actions. Rava brought support for his position from an incident in which Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef was paid for salt, but it appreciated in value before it was taken, and he wanted to retract. Rabbi Yochim told him to give him the salt, and if not, to accept mishapara on himself. Surely Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef did not need to be informed of Mishapara, so this indicates that we actually curse one who retracts. The Gemara counters that he certainly would not put himself in a position to be cursed, and the incident is explained differently. And point number three, Amoraim discuss how much of a purchase is acquired by an Erevon, a down payment regarding incurring Mishapara for retracting. Rav says, Keneged Hukona, it acquires equal to its value. Rabbi Yochanan says, Keneged Kul Hukona, it acquires the entire purchase. Rav is challenged from a brisa in which Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if money is given to a seller, not as a security, but as partial payment, for example, he buys a house or field worth 1,000 zuz and gives 500 as a down payment, he acquires the entire land and the balance is owed as a debt. The Gemara assumes the same applies to metaltalin. If money is given without specifying it's for a down payment, he acquires the entire purchase regarding Mishapara for retracting, which contradicts Rav. The Gemara answers that regarding a land purchase, which is actually acquired with money, a partial payment also acquires all of it. Regarding metaltalin, where money only acquires for incurring Mishapara for retracting, a partial payment does not even acquire the entire purchase. All right, so now we go to Simur Daf Mem Ches, and our standard Simon is a brainiac. A brainiac, which is a highly intelligent person. So here goes. When the brainiac who exercised his legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and was subject to a mishapara, which included basing cursing him themselves because he wasn't acting like amucha, his brainiac friend questioned if his down payment for the first volume acquired the whole set for mishapara. Once again, some motion. When the brainiac, that must more enough memches, moach. When the brainiac who exercised his legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and now is subject to a mishapara, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalet Amanov stated regarding one who attracts from a purchase after giving money. Of Amru, the sages said about him, mishapara ma'anshidora mabum endora flagam, the one who punished the generation of the flood and the generation of dispersion, who asli para mishaino omipidiburo, he will ultimately punish someone who does not keep his word. The Gemara clarifies that a mishapara is only given when it's accompanied by a monetary payment. So, when the brainiac who exercised his legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and now was subject to a mishapara, which included basting cursing him themselves because he wasn't acting like amucha, which reminds us, Abai said, that we inform him that if he retracts, he'll be subject to mishapara, but we don't curse him. Rava says we curse him ourselves with mishapara. Abai holds we do not curse him because the pasuk says, "Vanasi ba'amcha usar," a leader among your people you should not curse, which is also prohibited for ordinary Jews. Rava responds to the word ba'amcha, among your people, teaches that cursing is only prohibited ba'osamaisa amcha, with one who acts in accordance with your people's actions. So when the brainiac who exercised his legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and was subject to a mishapara, which included basing cursing him themselves because he wasn't acting like amcha, his brainiac friend questioned if his down payment for the first volume acquired the whole set for a mishapara, which reminds us the Gemara discusses if a down payment acquires equal to its value or the entire purchase in terms of incurring a mishapara for retracting. So once again, when the brainiac who exercised his legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and was subject to a mishapara, which included basing cursing themselves because he wasn't acting like amcha, his brainiac friend questioned if his down payment for the first volume acquired the whole set for a mishapara. All right, so now it's time for a four blah bach chazar. Daf mem dalet, so the simmer daf mem dalet is mud. So here goes. The shomer who fell in the mud, that must be on daf mem dalet. The shomer who fell in the mud who had intent to use the clean guard uniform left in his deposit, which reminds us, there's malchus beisham beisil, whether one is chai for shrikas yad if he just had intent to use the item, or if he needs to actually misappropriate the item he was watching. So the shomer who fell in the mud and had intent to use the clean guard uniform left in his deposit didn't realize he had splattered mud all over the two men who were in the midst of exchanging gold coins for silver coins, which reminds us, the fourth parak begins, Azav Kona Sekesev. When exchanging gold coins for silver coins, the buyer's acquiring the gold coins acquires the silver coins for the seller. Mekesev Eina Kones Azav, but the seller's acquiring of the silver coins does not acquire the gold coins for the buyer. Several other examples are listed, and the underlying concept is that money does not acquire produce, and neither party can retract until the buyer acquires the produce. The Mishnah holds that gold currency is considered produce when compared with silver currency. So the shomer who found the mud and had intent to use the clean guard uniform left in his deposit didn't realize he had splattered mud all over the two men who were in the midst of exchanging gold coins for silver coins, and the man who was being machal meis sheni produce onto gold denarim, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that Beis Shammai says, "Oyasa adam slime din reizav." One may not make, meaning deconsecrate, slime of Maaser Sheni into denarim, but Beis Hillel permits it. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish debate the point of contention. One says the Machlokes is specific to this case of being machal silver coins onto gold coins, whereas Beis Shammai holds that gold is considered the currency relative to the silver, and we cannot deconsecrate money onto produce. Beis Hillel holds that silver is considered the currency, so it's a valid chilul. Everyone would agree, however, that one may be chal real produce onto gold denarim, because even Beis Shammai agrees that it is currency relative to produce, just as Beis Hillel agrees that silver is currency relative to produce. The other more says that the Machlokes even applies to being machal produce onto gold denarim, because Beis Shammai holds gold currency is not considered money, even relative to produce. Daf Mem Hei. So the Zimmer Daf Mem Hei is Manishtana. So here goes. The boy who had received gold chaka coins from his Zaidi for saying the Manishtana, that must be on Daf Mem Hei. The boy who had received gold chaka coins from his Zaidi for saying the Manishtana pretended they were real and didn't lend them to his brother to pay back the same number of coins, which reminds us. Rabbi Yochanan said, Asur Lilvos Dinar B'Dinar. It's forbidden to borrow a dinar for a dinar, meaning to repay the same number of dinarim, whose value may be higher, a payment constituting ribbis. So the boy who had received gold chaka coins from his Zaidi for saying the Manishtana pretended they were real and didn't lend them to his brother to pay back the same number of coins, while his cousin declared he wouldn't go home with his silver chaka coins until he had enough in exchange for a gold one, which reminds us, Beis Shammai holds that the rabbis prohibited being machal silver slime unto gold dinarim, Shema Yashel Yosef, because perhaps one might delay his ascent to Yerushalayim if his silver coins of Maaser Sheni do not add up to a gold dinar and he may not bring his silver coins with him. Beis Shammai agrees that one may be machal produce onto gold dinarim, because he'll not delay redeeming them until he has enough for a dinar, since produce spoils. So the boy who had received gold chaka coins from his Zaidi for saying the Manishtana pretended they were real and didn't lend them to his brother to pay back the same number of coins, while his cousin declared he wouldn't go home with his silver chaka coins until he had enough in exchange for a gold one, which he was told cannot affect Chalipin, which reminds us, the Gemara presents a Machlokes between Rav and Levi if coins can be used to affect Chalipin. One says, Matbe Nasa Chalipin, a coin can be used to affect Chalipin, and the other says it cannot. Rapop explains the second opinion, Mishum de Daita Asurza, because the seller's mind is on the figure on the coin. Asurza avida de batla, and the figure often becomes voided by the government. Therefore, a coin is not considered whole, which is a requirement for Chalipin. Daf Mem Vav, so the similar Daf Mem Vav is a cow because cows go moo. So here goes. The strange man in the cow costume. Cow? That must be learned off. Mem Vav. Moo. The strange man in the cow costume who gave his Maaser Sheni to his friend so he could redeem it without an extra fifth with his money at home. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a mission discussing one who wants to redeem his Maaser Sheni without paying the owner's surcharge of an extra fifth by giving money to his friend who will redeem the produce and return it to him. If he's at his granary and does not have money with him, he can give the produce to his friend and then redeem it with money he has at home without paying the fifth, since the produce is not currently his. So the strange man in the cow costume who gave his Maaser Sheni to his friend so he could redeem it without an extra fifth with his money at home acquired his friend's ox, which affected a transfer for his cow, which both needed appraisal, which reminds the Mishnah's quote, call nasim dam b'achir, anything which is used as payment for something else. Kevin shazach hazeh nitchayv zeh b'chalipin. Once this seller acquires it, the buyer becomes responsible for the item given in exchange because he owns it. This phrase presumably refers to coins which are used as payment and proves they can be used for chalipin. Rav Yehuda reinterpreted the Mishnah, call nishum dam b'achir, anything assessed when used as payment for something else, meaning all metaltalin except for coins, whose value is known, can affect chalipin. This is supported by the Mishnah's illustration of exchanging an ox for a cow or a donkey for an ox. So the strange man in the cow costume who gave his Maaser Sheni to his friend so he could redeem it without an extra fifth with his money at home acquired his friend's ox, which affected a transfer for his cow, which both needed appraisal. While standing near two people making chalipin exchanges of disqualified coins in cowhide purses, which reminds us, a Mishnah states that all metaltalin can acquire each other through chalipin, and Reish Lakish said, "Vafil kis mali malos, but kis mali malos." Even a purse of coins exchanged for a purse of coins is effective. This proves that coins can be used and acquired with chalipin. Rav Acha interpreted Reish Lakish's statement to refer to anka and anigra types of denarim, one of which the government disqualified and one of which the people of the province disqualified, meaning it's still legally valid, but people do not accept it. Neither is considered currency, and therefore the chalipin is effective. Daf Mem Zayin, so the Siman Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The person running through the Kenyan maze, that must be more Daf Mem Zayin. The person running through the Kenyan maze who decided to go down the path of the Kona, holding the kerchief, instead of the Makna holding the kerchief, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, whose utensil is used to perform a Kenyan Chalipin? Rav says, Bekel of Shekona is performed with the utensil of the one acquiring the item by giving his kerchief, for example, to the item's current owner, because the one acquiring wants the Makna to acquire his kerchief, so he should transfer the item to him. Levi says, Bekel of Shemakna is performed with the utensil of the one transferring the item by giving his kerchief to the one acquiring the item. So, the person running through the Kenyan maze who decided to go down the path of the Kona holding the kerchief, instead of the Makna holding the kerchief, and then ran past and ignored an ear of corn and found a shoe to do a chalipin with instead, which reminds us it was taught in the Brisa Koni Bekli, one may acquire with the utensil for chalipin, afu pisha en bo sheva pruta, even though it's not worth a pruta. Rav Nachman says the utensil is required for chalipin, but produce or any other non-utensil cannot affect chalipin because the pasuk says na'alo, his shoe. Teaching na'al'in with a shoe or something similar, yes, chalipin would take effect. Midiacharini, lo, but with something else, it would not. Rav Shesha says even produce may be used for chalipin, and darshens the phrase l'kayim kol davar to confirm anything, to allow a kinyan with anything. So the person running through the Kenyan maze who decided to go down the path of the Kona holding the kerchief, instead of the Makna holding the kerchief, and then ran past and ignored an ear of corn and found a shoe to do chalipin with instead, was racing against the clock to acquire a bushel of wheat with Mashicha before the seller could tell him, your wheat was burned in the attic. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph taught that the acquiring of the merchandise and not the money finalizes a sale. Rabbi Yochanan says, Devar Torah Maos Konos, according to Torah law, money acquires metaltwin. The reason that the rabbi said that Mashicha and not money acquires metaltwin is, Gezer Shem Yomer Nisrifu Chitecha Ba'aliyah, a rabbinic decree because the seller might tell him, your wheat was burned in the attic. Since the wheat, which is still in the seller's possession, now belongs to the buyer, the seller has no incentive to protect it from accidental damage. They decreed that the buyer could retract from the sale until he acquires it, so the seller would labor to save him harm. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which step do we discuss how a person can have his Meiser Sheni redeemed without adding a fifth? That's on Duff. Membav. Good number two, which step do we have a question if a chalipin is performed with the kli of the Makno or the kli of the Kona? That's on Duff. Mem Zayin. Good number three. Which daf to be Malchus Beisham Beis Hillel, whether one is Chayiv for Shlichas Yad with just intent? That's on daf. Mem Dalad. Good number four. Which daf to be Malchus is if we inform someone of a Mishapara or we actually curse him with a Mishapara? That's on daf. Mem Ches. Good number five. Which daf to be Malchus if coins can affect Chalipin? That's on daf. Memhe. Good number six. Which of the one that one who attracts from a purchase after giving money incurs a mishapara? That's on daf. Memches. Good number seven. Which stuff to discuss how to safeguard money? That's on daf. Membeis. Good number eight. Which stuff to discuss whether a kli is required for chalipin or one can use produce? That's on daf. Memzayin. Good number nine. Which stuff to discuss whether a down payment acquires equal to its value or the entire purchase? That's on daf. Memchas. Good. And number 10, which of the one that Zahav is Kona Kesef, but Kesef is not Kona Zahav? That's on Dav. Memdal. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.